Hi, this is Cheryl from Arizona. And I made an intentional change in my life. God was after me for a long time to quit drinking. I was raised in an environment where drinking was the norm. I drank my whole life. And after one night of too much drinking, I finally gave in and listened to the Lord, and I stopped drinking. I ignored the Lord for a long time and said, I don't want to stop drinking. I like drinking. And here I am now sober for probably the first time in my life. I thank the Lord every day for what He's done, and I'm very intentional. I'm very happy now that I can say proudly, I am a non-drinker. I don't drink.
Good for you, Cheryl, and thank you for the boldness of sharing that story with us. And it's a reminder that whatever we do in life, there's a cost associated with it. There's always a cost. Drinking too much, there's a cost. Deciding not to drink at all, there's a cost. But you know what? When you look at the reward, certainly Cheryl picked the better path, the healthy path, physically and emotionally, and I believe spiritually as well, for her life. And you can hear the joy and contentment in her life. You can do it too. I don't know what you're facing today. Maybe ask yourself, what is the trigger that's causing me to want to make a change, or the need to make a change? What is it about the oh no moment in my life, or the aha moment in my life, that's causing me to step up today and to make a change? And what difference is it making in your life? I hope you'll listen in. We got some great callers ready to go, and you can share your story as well on our storyline. And by the way, I have a very, very special offer, a brand new book just released, in fact, today, called Declutter Your Life. I'm going to tell you how you can receive a copy of that in just a few minutes. So get a pencil ready to let you know. We're very excited about it. And welcome to Intentional Living, as we talk about needing to make a change and making the change for God's glory.
Hi, this is Jason. And I just want to start with, this past year, I'm in high school still, and I started changing, the way I've been living, and I wasn't really a good kid my freshman and sophomore year. Then I started opening my eyes and reading the Bible. My dad was always there to over my shoulder to push me and tell me to do right, I was in the rebellious stage. But now, I've been praying, and I've been reading the Bible, and everything in my life is starting to change. Everything is opening up to me, and I can see things way more clear than I have in the past. And I'm trying to reach out to my friends, but the friends that I'm hanging out with aren't very good kids. I really would like help with that and some advice on how to become a better Christian.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you, Jason, for that call. When you think about being a better Christian, we either are or we aren't. We're either a follower of Christ or we're not. But I hear your heart there. How do you grow? How do you grow? You just gave yourself the answer, partly. You're hanging around with the wrong people. Well, how do you change? Don't hang around with those people. You can love them, but you're going to have to cut the ties and develop new friendships, new influence. We become like the people we hang around with. Spiritual growth is not rocket science. It's not as though there's a genetic predisposition for some people to be more spiritual in their walk with Christ than somebody else. It wasn't that they were born on the right side of the tracks, or they have the right ancestry or whatever. If they're a follower of Christ, we can be as spiritual as we choose to be. We can be as close to God as we choose to be by filling our hearts with the truth, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us every day, as the scripture says. Paul says in Ephesians 4 to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and do not sin. In other words, taking care of our emotions. And then he talks about our behavior, the things that we do. See? And so we can, you and I have, as long as we still have breath, we can change. We can make a decision to change, to go in a new direction. We can do that. So you can join in. We've got lots of calls. The lines are busy. We'll get to the calls on the line here in just a moment as you call 888-888-1717. In what way has God led you to change in your life? Candace said on Facebook, this is totally happening right now. I've been content, and now things seem like they are all falling out of place. You ever been there? You're kind of moving along, and all of a sudden, wow, the health thing and the finance thing and the marriage thing. And then she goes on to say, it's like God is telling me it's time to step out in faith and trust Him. James says on Facebook, to not be complacent as my family's spiritual leader and to step up, as he says, to be the priest in my home and to guide my family into his righteousness. That's a good reminder. So again, if you just joined us, we're talking about triggers to change. There's really only two things that I've seen in my work with people over the years that cause any of us to make a change. We either have a personal crisis, in other words, a have to, and you hear the call sometimes, you know, my marriage has fallen apart, or there's been an affair, or there's been a heart attack, or there's been a loss of a job, or whatever it may be, but there's this crisis that comes along in one of the five essential areas of life that sort of causes a necessity or necessitates a change. Or for the person who wants to change. It really is one or the other. Okay, Renee's on the line. Welcome, Renee, to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Talk to me about change in your life.
Well, I had I battled an addiction to bulimia for over 20 years.
Wow.
And I had my daughter, and when I was pregnant with my daughter, my life started changing, and I stopped doing it. And then after she was born, I started doing it again. And I would just feel like I wanted to be alive for her.
So it was this sense of, I've got something bigger, more important than what's ever going on in my life.
Yeah, and I wanted to know that I would be alive to be able to teach her about having a relationship with Christ.
Good for you. So you really had a crisis and an opportunity, didn't you? Really? Both.
Yeah.
How are you doing now, Renee?
I just celebrated 4 years.
Good for you. What do you say to someone who's listening that has anorexia or bulimia and they're listening and maybe even having trouble identifying what it is for themselves? What do you tell them?
I would just tell them that there's a better way. I mean, I don't struggle with the weight. I feel like God delivered me of my battle for over 20 years. And, you know, I just gave it to him. And I said, please just take this away from me. And he did it. He just delivered me. One day I was just done. And I struggled for many, many, many years. I went to counseling. I've done a lot of things. And really, Jesus delivering me was the only thing that changed my life.
Boy, when it happens that way, it's extra special because he gets the glory for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Renee, thank you for calling.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And congratulations on your journey and also on finding relief there and God freeing you of that. Yeah, there's an example, though. Renee's an example of a person who had a crisis. She knew it, up and down, struggling with bulimia. And she also had an opportunity. She saw, I'm a mom now, and you know, I want to be different. I want to be the kind of mom that my child needs. And then she turned the right direction, didn't she? She gave it to God. How about you? About changing your life? 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Andy. This is Rachel from Garfield, Kansas. A year ago, I was in a psychiatric hospital, and right now I'm going through a divorce. And I just want to say thanks, because some of the things that I've heard already today on the radio from couples that have been together for 19, 20 plus years has given me courage to move on. I'm supposed to be starting college here in a couple of weeks, and I really was scared at first, but you said something about do something to change your life, and I need to do something to not only change my life for now, but change my life for whenever I do. And I just really want to say thank you for all the encouragement that I've received just today. I haven't listened to your program before, and I just happened to turn it on. It's just a blessing, and thank you, and God bless.
Hey, you're welcome, and thank you. I'm glad you're listening. Congratulations on your journey. Keep at it. Life is difficult. Life is hard. We know that. You know, you turn on the news today and you see what's going on around the world. I don't even know how to explain what's going on. And I think what happens is you turn on and you hear these political talk and you hear the, you know, all of the descriptions of things. We live in a very dangerous and troubling time. And I am convinced, and I love you guys, I love you as listeners. I know you tune in, and I've met so many of you around the country, my wife and I, as we've traveled. We love you. We want the best for you. And you need to be intentional, and we're passionate about this message. It's not a magical thing. God is an intentional God. He intentionally loves you, intentionally created you. He intentionally has a purpose for you, intentionally died and came back for you through his son, Christ. He's coming back again. And he just asked for us to surrender to him completely, to allow the Holy Spirit to take center place in our life. And then, you know, it doesn't mean all the troubles go away, but every day we choose to get up and be intentional. That's why I wear this one thing wristband every day. And thousands do now around the country that we've given out to people at our conferences who just say, hey, today, one thing today. Life is so complicated. What one thing today can I do, should I do, stay focused on that'll draw me closer to Christ and honor him? Change. Margaret is on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
Appreciate your call. What brought you to a change and what kind of change in your life?
Well, I had slipped away from the Lord and recently got sick. And it was a long illness and had to go on medical leave, and really had a toll on me spiritually and physically, and I had to get back, you know, reading my prayer books and reading the Bible and putting complete trust and faith in God that, you know, it would get better, you know, financially, physically, spiritually. And I am slowly getting better and find myself close to God again, and I'm just grateful.
Been almost worth it, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm putting them first and remembering just to keep him first and keep him in your heart.
Hey, let me ask you, Margaret. You said about 6 months ago you started, you know, being sick. If everything had been hunky-dory and life was good, you weren't sick, and everything was peachy cream, as it were, where do you think you'd be today?
I would be at the same place I was, you know, months ago. Yeah. And after I got sick, I have always wanted to volunteer at our church. And this little bit of time that I've had being on medical leave from work, I have gone to the church and filled out the volunteer paperwork. So I'm excited about that. And that's something I don't think that I would have done. I wouldn't have not found the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was for a reason. It was hard, but I'm grateful for God.
Well, that's good. So yours was kind of a crisis brought you back. You chose to get close to the Lord and not reject. And we just pray you'll continue to get healthier and stay on that same course. Thank you for your call, Margaret.
Thank you. Thanks for your work.
Glad to be here, and thank you for listening. Changes. So far, a couple changes that were due to sort of a crisis in life. I think that's probably the bulk of the major changes in our life. There are some who just say, hey, you know, there's something better here that God has for me and in our marriage or whatever, and choose to go in a healthier path. But I'll tell you what, if you stop, if you miss those little warning signs along, there's like warning signs that come up in life. I was driving down the road here, and there was going to be a big bike race here in Tucson, and it's going to be going right by the office, and there's a sign down here warning us, be careful because there are going to be thousands of bicyclists. Well, they put that out, so there's a warning, so you don't run into somebody. And I think God allows some of those warning signs to show up in our life, and we miss them. We blow right by them until it blows up in our face. Want to or have to? 888-888-1717, the power of being intentional about change.
I struggled with drugs for 20 years. I went to prison. I met God. When I got out, life was very scary. And when I found you, it changed my life. Intentional living keeps me focused. I'm so grateful to you.
Maybe like Karen, even as things in life get better, it can be scary.
Life is going to have turbulence. Ever notice on a plane when it gets shaky, you sit down, you put the seatbelt on, and you hang on. And in our lives, we have turbulence that comes.
In his message, What I've Learned on an Airplane, Dr. Randy will offer some practical advice for life, along with some entertaining stories and anecdotes he's gathered as he's traveled the country. With your gift of $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360, you'll get unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content and Dr. Randy's new book, Declutter Your Life. In the book, you'll learn how clutter can keep you from the life Christ has given you and encourage you to intentionally seek God. Give right now by calling 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt. Listen, this brand new book literally just released this week, first time to make it available, and I hope you'll respond. We want to get it into your hands. You know, there are three things that we talk about with intentional living. First of all is making the right decision, a decision to be intentional, understanding what that means in terms of your marriage or your family, whatever it is you're facing. And number two is then to do one thing every day to start moving in that direction. And then number three, and perhaps one of the most of the three, the most essential thing you got to do to make room for other things is to declutter your life. And I want you to know that this brand new book called Declutter Your Life is available today. When you join us, as Kurt said, and join us with a dollar a day in support of the ministry, we need your help. We'll get this to you when you call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com right now, and thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Okay, calls are backing up here. Let's go. We got Mary on the line talking about change. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment?
Well, my struggle is I quit my job in September last year, and I really felt like the Lord was calling me.
Why did you quit?
Well, first of all, I've been there for 15 years, not just the same place, but I had been a CNA, Certified Nurse's Assistant, for 15 years, and my back had been really hurting from the physical work that you do there. And my arm and my shoulder were hurting. So I had prayed about it, and I really felt like the Lord was telling me to trust Him, which I did. I felt the door closed at work, so I quit my job. And I told my husband, and he says, hey, that's what I want to do. So we had wanted a little business adventure, and we thought, well, we'll go on the road, and we'll just work town to town, you know, and just enjoy life and enjoy the Lord, you know, minister to people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband kind of got cold feet as we got in 3 weeks to it.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone to Dallas, and we had some family issues. We helped my mother put a floor in, and we helped do some stuff, and I really felt like we were called to help.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband started getting cold feet. He says, well, we can't step out. We have to pay these payments. We have to do this. I have to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed along with him, and when we got home, he went back to his old job, and I tried to, but it just didn't open for me, the doors.
Mm-hmm. So you're stuck.
And so I'm stuck. I'm
all right.
At home.
And you wonder, what do we do now, right? Where do you go now?
Right. Yeah. I don't want to work because I really feel it, really seriously feel it's physical. My back hurts
right.
And my arm.
I understand. Well, Mary, let me share a couple things. We have to always be discerning when it comes to making decisions, okay? And we've got to be really testing to make sure what we're hearing is really from God. And I never question what a person hears because I don't know. That's between them and the Lord. But I do know that God is not an author of confusion. Whenever I hear someone that comes along and says, you know, we've done this and this and this, and, you know, and there's not a sense of peace, or there's not a sense of I'm in the right place, then you have to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm not listening clearly, or maybe I need to stop and spend a little more time before we make a decision and get some more counsel. Here's what I encourage you to do, Mary, because it sounds like you and your husband are not totally on the same page. You had some ideas, but they didn't, you know, pan out. Your husband kind of changed what he wanted to do. You really don't want to go back to work. You got physical challenges, and those are all very legitimate. Here's what I would do if I were you, very practically. I would find a mentor in your life, a godly, mature woman or counselor, and maybe a career counselor, and just start the process. Say, God, over the next 30 days, 60 days, I'm just going to immerse myself before you, get good input. I pray you'll reveal to me clearly what you'd have me do next, and open up the windows of opportunity beyond what you were doing. Get outside the small box that we put ourselves in. God has maybe wonderful things for you to do. He has ideas and plans for you that you don't even haven't even imagined yet. And sometimes talking to people outside of our own circle and getting input and counsel from godly people opens that door to our thinking and to the opportunities. And I think that's something I would encourage you to think about. Okay, Mary, thanks for your call. I hope that's a help.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name is Jenna, and over the past probably 6 months or so, I feel as though my life's been on a roller coaster, but I've really made an intentional effort to read the Bible every day, and even when times are tough and I don't really feel close to God, I make myself, and it just has revolutionized my life and my relationship with my husband and the Lord, and I just am so thankful for hearing your program. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. I love that, Jenna, because what you did is you really followed the little outline that we use, the process of intentional living, by declaring your intention. You said, I'm on this roller coaster going up and down. I just declare the fact that I don't want this anymore. It's not what God has for me. This isn't the best way to live. And you frankly got mad enough. We live in a culture today. Come on, night. Turn on the news. People get mad and they lash out to people. It's other people. They blame other people. They blame everything going on around them. Jenna said, hey, I'm going to get mad enough inside, and I'll tell you what that madness comes from, and I'm going to change my life. And she started reading the Bible, and she's grown. When I use the word mad, by the way, I come from the idea of the acrostic, using these letters, M-A-D, to change your mind. That's what Paul says to us in Ephesians. Change your attitude, and then change your decisions. And when you do that, M-A-D, your mind, your attitude, your decisions, you get what Jana get. Do you hear what she said? Change my life. As simple as saying, I'm going to go in a new direction. That's what intentional living is all about. By the way, if you have a story to share with us how intentional living is impacting your life, tell us. Love to hear it.
My wife and I have been married for almost 7 years. 2 years prior to our separation, it had been very trying and troublesome. We had lost a child. Our marriage was falling apart. And one day my wife called me and told me she wasn't coming home and she didn't love me anymore. 6 months passed. We were separated. She called one night and we were arguing on the phone and I hung up on her. She decided to come over to the house that evening with the intentions of continuing the argument that I had abruptly ended by hanging up on her. And when she got to the house, it ended up turning into a reconciliation and we started talking about our problems in the marriage and working things out. We ended up getting back together. I told her that if we were going to stay together, we needed to find a church. We needed to rededicate our lives to God. My wife always found reasons why we shouldn't find a church. It would just be put on the back burner. And after we got back together, I made this recommendation. She didn't even balk at it. We settled in at a church in Jefferson City. And the first service that we were at, and the pastor was talking about the gospel and the movement of the Holy Spirit within people. After the service, my wife and I both were in tears, and my wife told me what she had felt the night that she came over to the house had to have been the movement of the Holy Spirit, because she said that it felt like she had been struck by lightning. What was happening wasn't right, and what we needed to be doing was to be together. Since that day, we have continued to go to church. My wife has been baptized. A year and a half later, we're still going strong. After almost 9 years of marriage now, we're better than we were the first year we were together. And I fully give the thanks to God and to Jesus Christ for keeping my family together.
Wow, what a story. That was the best thing that ever happened in your life, was hanging up on your wife. How many guys could say the best thing that ever happened to me was when I hung up on my wife? And that became the moment where she said, I'm coming over and we're going to continue. And of course, we heard the rest of the story. Your life was changed and your marriage. What a great reminder of, you know, this topic, as we're talking about the power of change and the need to change in our life when we have what I would refer to as a healthy discontent. And when that happens, some fantastic positive things can happen as well. You know, one of the things we have to do if we want to have a better marriage, one of the things we have to do if we want to get out of financial problems or have a
more peace and freedom in our life, we got to declutter our lives. And I want to tell you about a brand new, just released resource in 1 minute.
Here's another thing I've learned on an airplane. Life is unpredictable. You think everything is going to be okay, and then all of a sudden your plane gets diverted. I can remember one flight, I was flying back to Phoenix, because I tend to fly in and out of Phoenix and then drive home, because it's just quicker with nonstops. Well, I nonstop from wherever I was coming to Phoenix. Phoenix had bad weather, so they diverted us to Tucson. But my car was in Phoenix.
And I live in Tucson. I could have almost walked home, but there was my car in Phoenix. So we had to sit on the ground for a couple of hours. And then, well, those of you in Arizona know what I'm talking about. Fly north 100 miles or so and then drive back. But anyway, the point is, one of the 10 things that can happen to us on an airplane is sometimes we get diverted. Diverted from where we intended to go and the schedule we intended. And that's life. How do you handle the diversions in your life? How do you handle those moments when you didn't anticipate, and all of a sudden it becomes an oh-no moment? I mentioned a moment ago we have a brand new book just released this week, and it's called How to Declutter Your Life. And it's a book where I just reflect on the power of decluttering our lives, not only the junk we have in the garage and maybe in the drawer, in the kitchen or in the basement or in the wherever, but more importantly in our minds and our hearts and our relationships. And this brand new book is being made available to those of you who are coming alongside and want to be a part of this intentional living journey. Your monthly support of a dollar a day or more is so appreciated. We want to make sure that you receive this book as a way of saying thank you for your support and for standing with us. How do you do it? You can call right now, anytime, 24 hours a day during this week and next. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. And when the operator answers, say, listen, I want to be a part of intentional living. And your monthly support is going to make a big difference, and I thank you for it. Or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and stand in support of this mission, this ministry. And by the way, when you join us monthly, you'll also receive access, the code, to get to all of the exclusive teaching that we have up on site just for our members. This month, on that topic, you'll hear the rest of those 10 points of the 10 things I learned on an airplane that we can apply to our life. Again, 888-888-1717. Thanks for joining me. God bless you. Have a great day.